because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Y'all know what a hireling is? It's like a servant. It's a hired servant is what it is. So it's not his sheep, right? It's not my sheep. So, you know, but the actual owner, the actual shepherd, will actually put his life in line and lay his life down for his sheep. And so the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Have y'all ever seen a shepherd work? If you ever seen a shepherd, let's see if we can get it to work. This is a test phase that happened. Give y'all a visual presentation. Can you turn the first lights off? This is a hireling. Is that not amazing? Actual real life. I thought that was a pretty cool visual presentation. So each of us are in an ongoing process in life, constantly honing our abilities to define and classify the things of God. So it's imperative that we know the voice of God. It's imperative that we tune our ear into what he has for our life. And although our learning process may never be fully complete, we can become skilled wherever our development is, whatever stage of life that we're in knowing God's voice. Confusion abounds all over the place. Confusion abounds over whether certain things are of God or of Satan. And not everything is of Satan. It could be of the world, or it could be our own selves, and I'll get into that. But sanctified common sense is always needed, along with other positive directives, in order to determine the things of God versus the things that are not of God. There are new doctrines. There's deception. There's false teachers. Every part of life, throughout history of every age, doctrines, deception, fake teachers have appeared all over the scenes. And as long as this church is this church, we are the body of the church. As long as the church is on earth, you will be targeted. Know this. Satan desires to deceive and to destroy if possible. The best way that he can do that is taking your ears outside of the tuning of God's voice. New devices will always plague us. God has established some fundamental truths that are absolute and relevant to every generation, lest we all fall prey to deception. One of life's most critical areas for both ministers, for saints, for children of God, is knowing the voice of God. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the minister. It is for all of us, knowing God's voice. I'm convinced that God's people want to obey him. I'm convinced that we face a dilemma, knowing beyond any doubt whether God speaks to us or not. There's times that we ask, was that the voice of God? Was that God talking to me, or was it something else? Obviously, because of time, and I can't cover everything scripturally. I'm going to try to watch our time carefully. But there's some basic guidelines that I kind of want to go over. Discerning and recognizing God's voice in the midst of so many other voices is challenging to every one of us. Therefore, it's essential to understand some definitions. To know comes from the Greek word gnosko, which means to perceive or to be resolved, to be sure and understand. Webster defines to know as to perceive with certainty and understand clearly. To be acquainted or familiar with, to have a clear and certain perception. John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. The voice is also defined from the Greek word as phoné, meaning a disclosure or a tone, a particular tone, saying or language. Webster defines it as any sounded regarded as like vocal utterance. Anything regarded as vocal utterance in communication to the mind as the voice of his conscience. It's Webster's dictionary. So there's a certain guy, and he paraphrased, my sheep know my voice, in John 10:27, to my sheep recognize my voice. Recognizing the voice of God. So God's sheep knows his voice. Many variables affect us relative to knowing God's voice. And through the maze of information and input from so many areas that are not of God, his voice still can be heard. Through every part of our life and every situation, no matter what situation you're in, God's voice sounds in your mind and in your life. We know that we hear from God, or when we hear from God, that we can resist every force of hell that comes against us. But how do I hear from God? First, be close to God. The closer you are, the clearer the voice. Brother Brent, if I was to ask you to come up here and I was to say something into your ear, you would hear me because you're close. But if I used the same whisper voice and had you go to the back of the church, you wouldn't be able to hear my whisper unless it was amplified. Why? Because you're further away from me. So the further away from God we are, the harder it is to hear his voice. Human will and divine will can be submissive to God's will. God doesn't need to speak to us directly concerning anything already written in his word. So I'm going to go, this is going to be a very, very key thing in this study today, is this is the chief cornerstone. The word of God is the word of God, is the voice of God, no matter what you come to in life. If you can't hear God audibly, read him. So he's not obligated to speak to us audibly the things that are already contained in Scripture. Our responsibility is to study and obey God's word and accepting everything that is written, that it's his will and his voice. One-time calls can impact an individual for a lifetime. We may receive confirmation, renewals, encouragement to fulfill God's call, but just knowing he has spoken motivates us to carry out his command. Think about Abraham or Moses or Isaiah, the apostles, and even Paul. They encourage us that we are to try the spirits, to try them, to sense if there's an error. Sorry, 1 John 4, Brother Josh. 1 John 4, chapter 1 through 6, or chapter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Next. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. And he knoweth God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Try the spirits and know them. Our own mind generates voices better known as self-talk. Anybody ever heard of self-talk? Self-talk, there's things that I can tell you right now. I'm reading What a Difference a Line Can Make. I had bought the book a long time ago, and I lost it. And so I picked it back up when we were at men's conference, and Brother Booker, I can literally, when I read his book, hear his voice. I can hear his voice. And if I read a book that I've never heard of the author, I've never heard the author's voice, my mind makes up whatever that I think that they might sound like. That's called self-talk. So, be it books, be it thoughts, be it pictures, this self-talk constantly bombards our minds with voices and impressions. Distinguishing God's voice in the midst of such a dim and confused world is a challenge. It is challenging, folks. But God leaves many things to common sense. And sometimes common sense is not all that common. but practicality and nature and spiritual common sense guides us. God does not have to speak to us concerning where we're going to park or where we're going to sit or whether we should walk on the sidewalk or in the grass. Minor decisions are left to our God-given innate intelligence. We don't need God-given directions for insignificant decisions. However, God will give us any instruction we need if they're not already available to us in his word. He is our shepherd. He speaks to his sheep, and his sheep knows his voice. So there are seven methods that I want to speak on real quickly through which God speaks. And again, going back to the number one thing, i.e., God's word. The Bible is the most reliable source that we have to depend upon as being God's voice in our life. Without error, without contradiction, without fallibility, we can trust God's word as the final authority on any and all matters in our life. Every other method presented in this lesson must come back to God's word. Everything will come back to his word. Never believe or accept anything as being from God if it contradicts the word of God. Trusting others or yourself to be right is always a mistake if it's outside the word of God. Obey God's word regardless of the cost. Remember the fate of Adam and Eve for disobeying God's word by listening to another voice. The second thing is the people of God. Men and women of God whom you have confidence in can help you grow and to know God's voice. Or God may speak directly to you through them. Pastors, ministers, spiritual leaders, these are essential to our spiritual warfare as a church to help balance our lives when it comes to knowing God's voice. Eli helped Samuel when he was confused over the voice of God in 1 Samuel 3. The third thing, God speaks directly to us audibly. God uses this method to call his people into his service and give specific direction and instructions to them in vital matters. God spoke to Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia in Acts 7. He spoke with Moses through the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. God talked to Balaam through a donkey. Reference Numbers 22. God still speaks to us today through his Spirit, giving direction, leadership, and instruction to his people. However, there is a warning. We should guard against haste and overzealousness when acting upon when we feel or what we feel as the directive of God. I'll say it again. Guard against haste and overzealousness. Calls from God do not die. While excitement, fervor, and zeal have a way of cooling with time, God's call is still there. We should all become rooted and grounded in the truth before making any important decision based on what we believe or what we think is a directive from God. This fourth one is the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy as well as tongues and interpretation is God speaking to us. Both scriptural methods are to be judged by the listeners, which does not mean they should criticize or ignore what is being said, but rather judge its accuracy and adherence, again, to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 discusses this. The fifth one is dreams and visions. Both of these occur in the lives of most people without having any scriptural or spiritual meaning. I have dreams and visions all the time. Doesn't mean it's biblical. Don't eat pizza before you go to bed. When we rely on a dream or a vision as a directive from God, we must be absolutely sure this is God speaking. God does speak through visions, and he does speak through dreams. Solomon in 1 Kings is an example. Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 19, 22, and 23. Pilate's wife in Matthew 27. Peter in Acts 10. Paul in Acts 18. It has happened. It does happen. But we must be able to clarify. And again, go back to God's word. God has spoke through angels. I have been told. And there's times that angels have appeared and never even said anything. I was praying with a gentleman in Porter, actually two men in Porter, when God gave me the foundation that I have. And I will never forget. I missed that morning in prayer, and I kicked myself for missing prayer that morning. But Brother Rodriguez came to me afterwards, and he goes, "Brother Colton, you missed it." He goes, "Man, we were praying. Me and Brother Crowder were praying, and we got up there," and he said there was an angelic being, didn't have wings. It was just a man in a white robe, and he walked the platform as we were praying. He would walk back and forth. Oh, man. So angels do and are among us, and God does send some with messages. When we know it to be an angel of God, remember the devil also has angels, we should regard it as God speaking. Should the angel speak to us in some manner, if it happens, both Old and New Testaments abound with experiences of angels visiting people. A few people to whom angels appeared are examples are Hagar in Genesis, Abraham, Zacharias, Cornelius, Philip. So it does happen. The seventh thing I want to discuss is by impression. Although we could consider this as God speaking to us directly, I want to distinguish between the audible voice of God and an impression upon our mind by the Spirit. Each of us have those inner voices I discussed earlier, along with other outside forces that make impressions upon us, but by no means are all impressions of God. Not every impression that we get are from God. Therefore, we must become sensitive to the extent that we can determine what is God versus what is world, or what is God versus what is flesh, or what is God versus what is the devil. Trial and error come into play here. All make mistakes when acting on impressions alone, since impressions can originate from many sources. So reflect on past impressions. Has this happened before in your life, and what was the outcome? Let time and experience teach you until you don't act impulsively on every impression, but only act on those that you know for sure are from God. God's Spirit guides us, grace teaches us, and God often speaks in a still small voice. Consequently, we must have an ear that can hear what the Spirit is saying, even in the noise of all of the world. All this goes on within the heart and the mind as an impression, a method used often and extensively by the Lord to speak to us. No matter what you do, whether God calls you to direct whatever part of life that He has you direct, making financial decisions, receiving a call to service, making minor or major decisions relating to life and church, any and all of these God could use or could speak to us by impression. It's known as the still small voice. One we have learned to detect by impression. It's not always audible, Brother Brent. It's not what always, God, I'm telling you. Sometimes it's just by impression. But remember, authenticate it. Authenticate the voice of God by using the Bible as a reference point. By using your pastor, by using the ministry that is trusted. Whether it be a minister, an angel, a spiritual gift, an audible voice, a dream, a vision, or impression, we must verify and document it by the Word of God. It all comes back to the Word of God. And then we act upon it. God speaks to us, we verify it, and then we act upon it. We don't act in haste. We don't jump on board and, man, let's. God's called me to New Zealand. What do you think my wife would do if I jumped on a plane in the next week and went to New Zealand? She'd be like, come back and visit. Right? The voice of strangers. People who know God's voice will not follow a stranger. We saw that in the little visual clip that I had. Because His voice is different from what they're accustomed to. John 10:5. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The word stranger comes from the Greek word meaning foreign, different, alien, or hostile. Paul warned us of many voices that are in the world. 1 Corinthians 14:10 was one of them. We must have a clear note and a certain sound before we act. Our day abounds with strange voices and doctrines of deceivers of every sort and every type that exist in our time. Ephesians 4:14, Brother Josh. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Most are not necessary cultic. Most of the voices don't have to be cultic or weird teachings. They don't... But if they're different from what the Word of God and the biblical truths stand for, then they're not of God. They don't necessarily have to be evil. They could be friendly. But if it differs from the Word of God, it's not truth. Printing presses, media, mainstream media, social media, there's constant stream of doctrines in every bit of our lives, old and young. The voice of strangers are never silent because Satan seeks to lead God's sheep astray. We must apply sound scriptural principles and deep spiritual perception to every directive in order to determine its origin. We must exercise caution in the smallest of matters, lest we fall prey to the voice of strangers. So I encourage you, stay close to the shepherd. Hear his voice often. It'll be clearly discernible in the midst of all of the other voices. All right, Brother Colton, you've talked to us about knowing the voice of God. How do I discern it? Well, focusing on God's methodology of speaking will help us discern the shepherd's voice from the voice of strangers. Some comparative measures that we may take, and there's four, is, and I'm going to call them comparing measures. So number one, compare what you're hearing, whether it be from man or inward impression, with what you have been taught. Never abandon principles of morality, honesty, integrity that have been instilled in you by your parents or by your church. 2 Timothy 1:5, Brother Josh. Did I put that in there? Maybe not. I apologize. We'll skip one five. Go to 3:13-17. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 14. But continue thou in the things that which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's that word inspiration. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Second Thessalonians 2:15, Brother Josh. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. That's been preached probably the last week or two, which have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Hold to God's traditions. Compare what you're hearing. Compare what you're hearing to past experiences. So past experiences. Recall what God has done in the past for you. And what was of God and what was of flesh. And act accordingly. Time and experience are great teachers. Utilize them for your spiritual warfare and well-being. Quit making this same mistake over and over and over. Become wise to Satan's devices. Compare what you're hearing with someone else's experience. This one's a good one. Use godly, successful men and women as sounding boards to determine if you're on course or not. And if a godly man or woman in your life corrects you, take heed to it. Don't be offended. God's trying to speak to you through them. Independence and self-centeredness are sure routes to follow the wrong voice. Take advantage of the knowledge and expertise of those that have walked the path that you are on now. Samuel had Eli's guidance in discerning God's voice in the hour of his youth and in crisis. You and I need the wisdom of others. But Zach, I need your wisdom. There may be times that I need that Brother Zach's wisdom. Hey, I've went through that before. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what God spoke to me. Let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you the outcome of what happened. And again, compare what you're hearing, what you're being impressed upon by God's word. Immediately reject any message or impression contradictory to Scripture. Anything coming from God's will harmonize with his word. So compare it. Acting impulsively and hastily, especially when there's a question, only brings hurt and damage to us and others. A comparative analysis of what we are hearing with these four guidelines will always prove a safety net against failure and deception. I'm using this to help me. I'm using this to build me. I'm using experiences from Brother Jess or from Brother Brent or from Brother Josh. You know, hey, I've been through that before. I can help you. Caution regarding eternal truth and your internal destiny is always in order. A lot of people say called of God is really not called of God. It's called of humanity. It's called of people. So we need to discern. Learn to wait on God. Don't rush the situation. Boy, that's hard. We're a microwave generation. We're ready to throw it in there and get that popcorn in about a minute and a half. Don't put it in that cast iron skillet, but it's better in that cast iron skillet. It's better with a whole bunch of butter in that cast iron skillet. But it takes a little while longer. Don't be hasty in doing what God wants you to do. Waiting and checking things out are good rules of safety in determining God's voice. And to sum it up, be sure it's God's voice, not just your feelings. Make sure it's not just your desires or impressions. Make sure it aligns with the Word of God. Make sure it aligns with your pastor. Make sure it aligns with Scripture and with teaching. We can run from extreme hurt or irreparable damage if we make a mistake. Webster says a mistake in this context is to perceive or understand erroneously, to interpret or estimate incorrectly, or to misunderstand or misapprehend, to identify incorrectly, or to take one thing or person for another. That's a mistake. So what do we do when we mistake God's voice? There may be consequences. Again, extreme hurt, irreparable damage, or it might be just minor discomforts when we fall into the mistake of disguising the voice of the shepherd from a stranger's voice. But I will tell you, lives have been wrecked because someone listened to the wrong voice. None of us is exempt from making a mistake. But we need to be extremely cautious lest we hurt others or destroy others along with ourselves. In our seeking, there is no reason or time or place to mistake the clear tones of the Bible. God's written word is clear and we must adhere to it. And I'm not talking about in making mistakes. I'm not talking about willful disobedience. That's rebellion. That's not mistake. So distinguish that. Willful disobedience and complete disregard for God or His word is rebellion against God's voice. That's not a mistake. Balaam was guilty of this. King Saul was guilty of this. They wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want to hear to the word of God. So if you're suffering because of rebellion against God's directive, then you only need one word of advice: repent and get on with God, with what God has told you to do. The problem eventually will be solved, even if there's damage that remains. So sometimes we make mistakes. We just have to live with those consequences, but we serve a God that loves us, and He is going to guide us even through our mistakes. And I'm closing. Although they are not a result of mistaking God's voice, when you encounter severe trials, reversals, financial loss, poverty, while doing the will of God, it's not always mistaking God's voice. Sometimes it's just life. Satan will try to defeat you by making you think you've missed God's will. Boy, I've heard that voice before. You've done it wrong. God's not pleased with you, and this is the brunt of it. Remember Job. What did Job's friends do? Friends. I wouldn't with friends like that, who needs enemies? What did his friends do? Oh, you must have done something wrong. This is why God's putting you through this. This is why God's doing this to you. No, God was right where, Job was right where God wanted him to be. And he was doing he was persevering. And sometimes it takes us persevering and knowing God's word, even if his voice is silent, and saying, I am sticking with the scriptures. I'm sticking with, even if my wife says, curse God and die. Even if my family is destroyed, I stick with the word of God. I stick with the scriptures because I know that voice. Obeying God's voice does not always bring prosperity or progress or popularity. But if you're in God's will and obeying his voice, learn to accept the circumstances that you're in and stay true to God in spite of those circumstances. We're all flesh. There are times that we have missed prayer. There's times that we've been stressed. There's times that we've had flawed judgment. There's times that we have problems in our life just domestically, just in our homes. There's just life. There's just frustrations. But if we make that mistake, if we make a mistake of hearing God's voice wrong, then all we have to do is ask God's forgiveness about your mistake. Allow your mistake to become a learning experience. And forgive, ooh, that's a good one, those that have hurt you. Keep bitterness out of your heart towards anyone. And quit kicking yourself and looking back with regret. Mistakes happen. Stand up, get up, say, that was not the voice of God. I will remember this, but I'm going to keep in line with the word of God. And I'm going to keep marching forward in the church. Make the best of where you are. You can be productive and successful and please God in the position that you feel, no matter where you're at. Never undermine or work against anyone filling a position that you want to have. I have a desire to do that. I have a desire to do that, but Brother Brent's in my way. Listen to the voice of God. Be patient and watch God work his will in your life. God will ultimately place you where he wills. Until then, you are best where you are. Give your 100%. Lend ear to God. Each of us has the privilege of having God, our shepherd, speak to us on an individual basis. Should you mistake God's voice in some area of your life, many of the guidelines given in this section will help you correct your error and give you direction. Some moves are reversible, others are irreversible. But if it's reversible, be humble enough to admit your mistake. Repent and do what you know is right. And when actions are irreversible, accept the consequences and serve God acceptably where you are. Sister Crosswhite, I fall a lot. There's times that I'm not perfect. But I'm going to take wherever God puts me and I'm going to do it with 100% of everything that I am. Oh, how I desire that we would always know God's voice and obey it. Our shepherd wants to lead us to green pastures, but we must first know his voice and then follow him. If you have, rejoice. If you missed it or made a mistake, all is not lost. The shepherd still lives, he still loves, and he still leads. His voice still calls. Even if you've made a mistake, he still has a voice in your life. Indescribable blessings await those that hear, know, and obey his word. And Brother Crosswhite, I'm finished with this. Behold, I stand, Revelations 3:20, Brother Josh. If I didn't put it on there, I'm sorry. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Praise the Lord. So let's know God's voice. Let's make it a something in our life, a desire in our life that we grow closer to God so we hear his voice clear and it's not so scrambled with all the other stuff. I wonder if we can just right now just lift our hands and just love the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and thank you for the voice that you have in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your ear, O God, that you hear us. Help us to hear you. Help us, O Lord, to be in tune to your voice. And I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a few minutes, Brother Crosswhite.